like Uniting the Prairies is really fantastic. It's really showing like the potential that this market has, seeing other successes like Coconut and Vendasta and what they've been able to accomplish. I mean, just fantastic stories that, you know, now you're able to say, look, concretely, Saskatchewan is a real market where you can build real startups. And now you have angel investor organizations, you have micro VCs that are actually supporting those companies locally or regionally, like...
Startupville, the show where we talk about the growing technology and research sector in Saskatchewan, Canada. We're coming to you live today from Uniting the Prairies 2023 for a special episode. We're featuring mentors, investors, startup founders from across the prairies and Canada and beyond. Stay tuned as we bring you this episode from Colabs. My name's Ariel, I'm your producer, and we have Mike Wolsfeld here as our host today. Startupville is brought to you by Innovation Saskatchewan.
All right, we are live here at Up Conference with Yuri from Kanata Ventures. Yuri, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Mike.
Awesome. So, Yuri, Kanata Ventures, I'd love to learn more about what you do and what brought you here to Up Conference this year.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, starting with Kanata Ventures, Kanata Ventures is kind of like my passion child, if you will, wanting to essentially help support building the Canadian ecosystem further, but also helping to support other immigrants like myself. So I myself am an immigrant into Canada, you know, built my career here, spent the last 20 years, you know, trying to help support the startup ecosystem. And it made me really realize the potential that immigrants have when landing in a place like Canada to really build value and you know, build interesting companies, the ambition sometimes that they have, you know, that inability to fall back on something else, you know, and they come here with one goal in mind. That focus and determination really gives them an extra edge, in my opinion. And so we set up Kanata Ventures to essentially invest in immigrant founders from emerging markets that want to land in Canada as a way to enter into the North American market, doing B2B enterprise sales. So, you know, different products, different industries, but B2B enterprise focused. And there are companies typically that have revenues, have you know, a product in market, and all they're really trying to do is now open up the North American market, which in the case of the companies that we back, tends to be that their main customer base, you know, is in North America. So so that's what we do. But previous to that, you know, I was also involved in the early days of setting up Panache Ventures. So in some ways, this was kind of like a spin out that I did out of Panache Ventures to kind of start this with my co-founder, Chris. Chris K. And then before that, I ran NACO for about 8 years, so the National Angel Capital Organization. And when I was doing that role, I also spent quite a bit of time in the West, but even here in Saskatchewan. So this is like my fourth time coming into Saskatoon. You know, really love coming out to these like emerging smaller ecosystems that are really pushing above their weight and helping to support those efforts.
That's amazing. So clearly a longtime veteran of the Canadian venture market, and embracing the Canadian spirit in supporting newcomer entrepreneurs. I'd love to learn more about sort of your thoughts on the Canadian ecosystem. You clearly had involvement sort of across Canada. We're here today for Uniting the Prairies Conference, obviously celebrating the Canadian prairie tech ecosystem. I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, the prairies and Canada as a whole, and what makes the prairies unique to what you've seen in Toronto and some of the other markets.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of things that are interesting about the prairies. I mean, first of all, I'll just say in terms of Canada, you know, I've been involved over 20 years at this point in time in some capacity or another in the startup ecosystem. So, you know, as a founder, running companies, setting up accelerators, as I mentioned before, NACO, VCs, all that kind of stuff. So I definitely have had different perspectives around, you know, what it takes to build an innovation ecosystem, what's possible in terms of supporting innovation ecosystems to kind of spring up in different markets. You know, I think when I started at NACO, it must have been around 2010, something like that, maybe 2011. And like back then, you know, we kind of had definitely an inferiority complex to the U.S., and you know, and that was just talking about Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. We didn't even consider that there was like even a market or a possibility of a market anywhere else beyond that. And you know, Toronto being the center of the universe and all that stuff, right? But it was really interesting to kind of see those ecosystems develop in a way that was really to allow collaboration with the bigger ecosystems in the US. That was a key part of what we were trying to do. So like align on best practices, align on deal terms, align on how investors were working with their startups, and do that in order to open up the pathway for US investors to then be able to come in and collaborate and deploy capital into Canada. And you know, it was that very ambitious at the time. But you know, I think like today we're in a position where like that's not even something we consider as an issue. Like it's just fact that, you know, as a Canadian startup, you can raise capital from the U.S. for sure, even internationally. You know, you have great success stories even here of companies that have raised massive amounts of money from foreign investors. And so, you know, that was impossible 10, 20 years ago. And so it's been really great to see that development. But you know, I think like quickly after doing some of that work, I quickly switched my focus to, you know, what about all the other ecosystems? Like, what about, you know, the prairies? What about Atlantic Canada? I mean, I've even been in the Yukon trying to support innovation and support kind of the culture of angel investment and entrepreneurship out there. So, you know, for me, it's really important because to me, you know, in entrepreneurship, innovation, technology, essentially something you can create anywhere. It doesn't have to happen in Silicon Valley or Toronto or Montreal. You know, there are some benefits for sure and some downsides to being in those big markets. But like ultimately, the ideas and the execution of those technologies can happen anywhere. And so there's no reason to say that, like, you know, somewhere like Saskatoon couldn't have its own bustling, thriving innovation ecosystem. So, you know, I would say like the second half of the time that I spent at NACO was largely trying to help develop those smaller ecosystems in the West, in the North, in the East, and really helping to kind of knit that together closer into a Canadian community of innovators. And, you know, we saw some early success stories, like, you know, the Skip the Dishes guys did a fantastic job kind of putting Saskatoon on the map. And I know that in the end, they, you know, their story is a broader Canadian story. But you know, they definitely put, I think, Saskatchewan on the map for a lot of people, and, you know, committed to actually paying it forward quite a bit to other founders. And so, you know, that is a key part in my mind of how you kind of build an ecosystem. You have to have some early successes, and you have to have a culture of paying it forward. And, you know, what I've seen here at the conference today is that that has now evolved many levels over in this market. Like, we're seeing a culture of that now, right? I was talking to a few other kind of investors and advisors, some of the people here at Colabs, even Colabs itself, like seeing how it's developed. Like, when I left NACO, Colabs was in the early days of trying to form and you know, build their vision of what they wanted to accomplish. And, you know, seeing them pull out, you know, these kinds of crowds for events like Uniting the Prairies is really fantastic. It's really showing like the potential that this market has. Seeing other successes like Coconut and Vendasta and what they've been able to accomplish, I mean, just fantastic stories that, you know, now you're able to say, look, concretely, Saskatchewan is a real market where you can build real startups. And now you have angel investor organizations, you have micro VCs that are actually supporting those companies locally or regionally, like Thin Air Labs, for example, trying to do the prairies regionally. So there's like a number of these kinds of initiatives that I think are really great, and it has to be locally led, right? And I think that's the key for me of what I've picked up being at this conference, is that there is this local activity and local commitment to building the ecosystem, and that's what it takes to really build it. Because like, you can try to bring people from outside in, but if there's no real ecosystem here to welcome them, to support them, they're not gonna stick around, right? Or they're not gonna have anything to do as investors, for example, if there isn't already kind of a bustling ecosystem here. So it's really important to build that kind of domestic capacity.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, you touched on a lot there, but I think what's key in that is, yeah, having that local energy, that local support, but also remembering, you know, in Saskatchewan and the prairies, we're used to thinking of you know, underserved markets and the prairies being an underserved market. But if you look historically, Canada has been an underserved market. So in what you touched on earlier there, is that some of that key to that success was getting that local energy going, but then also engaging with the United States, bringing in customers, bringing in investors from a more mature market. And I think the same thing is starting to happen here in the prairies, as we're getting more of this local energy activated here, but then through things like UP Conference and other things like that going on in Saskatoon and Calgary and Edmonton, Manitoba, to bring in people like yourself from Toronto, from the United States, from other more mature markets, to start to bring in some of that capital, some of that knowledge, that expertise. And I'd love to ask you a little bit more too as well, because you know, in underserved markets like this, we become very good at identifying where we punch above our weight, right? And I think you're in a really interesting space as well, working with newcomer entrepreneurs, another underserved market as well. And I'd love to get your thoughts on where you think newcomer entrepreneurs really punch above their weight.
Yeah, so one of the reasons we have the thesis that we do, which is essentially going to emerging markets, we call them emerging markets, but they're essentially undercapitalized or underserved markets, smaller markets. The reason why we go looking in those places is you know, that can be a weakness to some extent, right, to be in a smaller market. You don't have as much easy access to capital. Maybe there isn't a large enough customer base locally that you can depend on. You know, the nice thing about being in a place like the US or Brazil is that, like, you know, you have a big enough customer base right there in your backyard. You have investors next door, and it makes things a little easier for sure. But it's actually a benefit also to be in one of these emerging or like underserved markets, because at the end of the day, what it creates is a situation where you can't just go out and raise $20 million to kind of try out an idea and then grow something and then figure out a business plan later. No, you have to build a real business from the beginning. You have to think about revenues and customers, and that actually creates a more solid foundation for a business. I mean, even you look at the market right now, in 2021, you know, valuations are going crazy. People are raising capital left, right, and center. There's going to be a lot of pain now as a result of that, with the market going the way it is. But the companies that are going to be resilient and be able to survive are the ones that have a good fundamental business. You know, they're generating revenue. Some of them are profitable. Those things are really important in emerging markets, because they have to be. And that actually becomes an advantage for the companies in these kind of market situations. And especially as the broader market now starts to turn towards traction and revenue as an indicator instead of valuations, you know, you really start to see some advantages coming out of that approach. And that's a key reason why we do what we do, and we look in these kind of emerging markets. You know, the other thing on that front is just that, you know, companies are, I think, a lot more realistic about their evaluations, about, you know, what to expect from the market, and so, you know, execution ends up being like the real priority, as opposed to vanity metrics of, like, you know, top level user growth or like user activity or these kinds of things. What really matters is, like, does your customer want to buy your product? Are they paying for it, right? And so I love emerging markets for that. It really provides a, it's gonna hurt. I don't know if that came through, but.
All right. Well, we're getting the call from this main stage here, so we're running out of time, but we always like to make sure that our listeners can get in touch with our guests after the show. So Yuri, how can people get in touch with you if they have any questions or would love to connect?
Yeah, happy to connect with you know, anybody that wants to reach out. You know, I'm at canada.vc is our website if you want to find us. I'm also an advisor helping companies fundraise at Venture Labs. So that's venturelabs.ca. So I spend some of my time just kind of giving back to the community, helping companies with advice, with mentorship, you know, trying to be an advisor on their side of the table, essentially. And that's really the hat I'm wearing here today, is like just trying to give feedback and solid advice to founders and help them think about how they get to fundraising. So happy to connect with founders that are interested in connecting with me.
Amazing. Well, Yuri, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, we are here live at Up Conference with Kim from Fadoo. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, Kim, tell me a little bit about what Fadoo does and what brought you here to the conference.
Well, this is my first time, first of all, in Saskatoon, so I'm super excited. I get to meet everyone that I've seen virtually. But Fadoo, we are the SaaS for lawyers. We help legal teams sell, deliver, and scale subscription legal services so they can ditch the billable hour for good and have a better work-life balance, more clients, and really leverage their impact.
That's amazing. So I know you're really changing the way that lawyers do business, and sometimes really forging a new market. Tell me a little bit about subscription for lawyers.
Yeah.
And, you know, what makes that unique and exciting?
Yeah, so it's a complete business model change. So most people think of lawyers, they think of hourly billing. You don't want to talk to your lawyer. You have questions, whether it's because you have something with your child or you're looking to get potentially a will or you're trying to like do your business. All of us are here, right? All those questions. And if you call your lawyer, you're afraid of that bill that's going to come. And what we're doing is wanting to shift that entire relationship and really drive it as a proactive, relationship-driven experience so that it's both beneficial for the client and also for the lawyers, which a lot of times people don't realize, that for solo and small lawyers, it's really hard to build a sustainable, scalable law firm, one that doesn't overwork them, overwhelm them, and cause a lot of mental health difficulties. So we're really trying to move and change the industry in that way. And so what are subscriptions? They are a set of like services or products, right? For a defined customer, for a recurring flat fee, for a defined interval. So one of the things most people don't realize is that a legal subscription doesn't need to last all the time. It just lasts across the time that the client needs the services. And once it's done, it's done. But it's a better way of showing up.
Amazing. And lawyers I know may have a reputation for being maybe a little bit more traditional, right. A little bit more suit and tie. Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing from your customers who are adopting your product.
Yeah.
And how they're embracing this shift in the way that they do business.
Yeah, our customers, they hate hourly billing. It's been really detrimental in so many ways for them. And they found themselves, like I was saying earlier, overworked, or their clients are frustrated, so it's causing a lot of friction in the relationship, and they're not being able to serve the clients the way they want to. Or they come from like a large firm, and it was just really tiring and exhausting, and they couldn't grow. When they came into the law, they thought, this is not why I came into law, right? I wanted to have impact. I wanted to work well with clients. I really wanted to have a better just overall experience. And also, I wanted to have a sustainable lifestyle. And solo and smalls, unfortunately, have a ton of debt, and the revenue doesn't match it. And we really want to find a way for win-win for clients and them. And so what they say when they come on platform is just easy for them to deliver services. Their clients are happy because they understand it. It's clear. They know how to contact them. They know how to send messages in our platform. They know how to schedule meetings. They know how to get documents. So they feel like they can actually grow a streamlined, automated, process-driven law firm that leverages technology well, but then allows for them to show up for their clients.
Amazing. I love this company so much. I know it's such
thank
a
you.
Fast-growing market, and you've got very happy customers. What I want to talk about a little bit is, so you came all the way to this conference from Atlanta,
yes.
Georgia.
Yes.
Probably set the record at this conference for the most connections getting here. Tell me a little bit about your first time visiting Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Why you're here in the first place, and just what it's like growing a startup between Atlanta and Prairie, Canada.
Yeah, so first, it's amazing. I love just from a value set what Canada stands for and what the Prairies stand for, and it's been really good. But yeah, I came because I wanted to experience UP. Last year, I wasn't able to come. Blaine came, and we just talked about it, and then the opportunity to meet people, the Firehood being here, then Startup TNT being here, and just looking at the agenda, it was like, okay, we need to just make this happen. And so we made it happen, and it was a little bit more of a last minute decision, so next year we'll do better. But yeah, we wanted to really just get more integrated into the community here, and that's been my experience. So I had an opportunity last year to meet some people from Saskatoon, but not everyone. And so now just really being able to put faces to names, seeing people in person, seeing the community, experiencing the conference, and I really loved it just wrapped with an amazing conversation and about mental health as founders and in the legal space. That's so important, and it's a big issue. More than 50% of lawyers have a lot of mental health issues, and that's very similar as a tech co-founder, so it's something that I'm aware of, and it's just good to be in an ecosystem where you're talking about building businesses and having the impact and going after things, but also you have to make sure you don't burn yourself out and forget the human side of what you're doing.
Absolutely, and I love that about things like this. We're building community,
yes.
Which is about building businesses, but also about building support networks,
yes.
Right? And on the topic of community, we always like on the show to make sure that our listeners can get in touch with our guests in case they have questions or would love to connect. So, Kim, how can people get in touch with you and Fidu?
Yeah, so we're across all social media. So, of course, you can find us. We're either Fidu App or Fidu Legal. We will get that together one day. But otherwise, our website is fidulegal.com. And if you email myself, so hello@fidulegal.com gets all of us. We're ready to support anyone that's thinking about what it looks like to transition from an hourly model that they hate it, they know they're overwhelmed, they want to serve their clients better, or you just want to know what it's like for us to be in this legal space, and you're someone that's like, hey, I want to do legal tech, I'm not sure, like, let's connect. We know people, we love to talk about it, and we, you know, want to build the legal tech ecosystem as well in Saskatoon. So there's some great people, we would love to get some more.
Amazing. Well, Kim, we are very happy to finally see you in Saskatoon. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. We are here at Uniting the Prairies 2023 with Grant Laring from Good Lawyer. Grant, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for pulling me in, Mike. It's good to see you again.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about Good Lawyer and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Good Lawyer is a platform for fast-growing companies that need reliable legal services at a price they can trust. So basically, you can use our software to connect directly with lawyers, which cuts out the law firm overhead and basically saves you about half on typical legal services you might need for your business, like contracts and investment rounds, IP protection, that kind of thing.
Cool. So we're here at a startup conference. You serve a lot of startups with your product. Tell me a little bit about what it's been like growing this company in the prairies around the startup ecosystem here.
Totally. So you ask anyone a Good Lawyer and I'll kind of give you the same answer. Like, we are huge fans of the prairie ecosystem. We're from Calgary. We absolutely love Calgary. We think it's the best place to build a startup. One of the things in our specific space is that you basically can't build Good Lawyer in California, just because of the way their regulations work. So it gives us a huge advantage being somewhere where the environment is more open to innovation. So that's been good. In terms of working with companies here, like, we find that the ecosystem in the prairies is growing really fast. So we actually spend a lot of time working with companies in Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Saskatoon in particular.
Awesome. So at the conference here, we've got, you know, hundreds of people from around the prairies, investors from all around the country and the continent. What are you kind of looking forward to most coming to UP conferences here?
I mean, the big one for me was just meeting all of our users in Saskatoon. Like, I reached out immediately and connected with a bunch of people. I've been basically nonstop talking to Good Lawyer clients, Good Lawyer lawyers who are in the area, and it's been awesome to hear kind of how we've been able to help their businesses grow. Because we serve like more than 4,000 companies now across Canada, but we've only met a handful of them in person. It's just one of the natures of running an internet company, right?
Awesome. So growing to 4,000 customers across Canada, I'd love to learn more about how you're staying connected with those customers, you know, outside of attending things like UP Conference, and what it's like been like growing at that rate during this time. Especially, I'm sure a lot of it was during, you know, COVID era, where it's difficult to connect with people. I'd love to learn more about how you're, you know, connecting with your customers.
Totally, yeah. So we were born in COVID, pretty much started this model in 2020. So we kind of built a lot of that personal relationship process when we were forced to be remote all the time, but it was great. So like, we always call every single customer. We try to maintain a one-to-one relationship with everybody with our incredible customer support team, which is a team of four people in the office. But we also make sure that anytime we travel, we do try to connect with customers in each city. And we're holding our big yacht party. I don't know if you've heard of our yacht party, but we're basically getting a boat in Toronto, and like, a bunch of people who are in that area or who are going to Collision this year can hop on the boat with us and kind of, I guess, just get to know the company that they work with and with the rest of the people in our ecosystem.
Awesome. So yeah, there's a lot of startups that listen to our podcast, and, you know, we always try with our guests before we go to make sure that people can get in touch with them. So if there are startups listening to the podcast right now, they want to get on the yacht party in Collision, or they just want to get in touch with Good Lawyer, how can they get in touch with you?
Totally. There are like 10 yacht party tickets left, so go fast if that's what you're into. You want to talk to me, just grant@goodlawyer.ca is my email. You can find me on LinkedIn. Grant Laring is my name. But you can also just check our website anytime if you need some help. We've got real people on all the chatbots and the email links and things like that. So there should be no trouble getting in touch with Good Lawyer any given time.
Awesome. Well, Grant, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right. All right, we are here at UP Conference with Aaron Pisco from the Innovation Asset Collective. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Mike.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about what IAC does?
Great question. So IAC was part of the 2018 federal government initiative to start an IP strategy for Canada, and we're really helping break down barriers to make IP accessible for companies and understandable, with a real focus on business leaders becoming IP literate.
Awesome. So what are you finding in your journey building IAC and working with founders, you know, across the country on IP strategy? What are you finding are the gaps or the challenges in intellectual property in Canada?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the biggest gaps is people become aware of IP and then immediately feel like they need to take action in forms of like tangible steps to either file a patent application or develop a trade secret strategy. And there's this real gap. What happens along the way to that path? And so it's about understanding what's your plan and what are you going to do with these assets at the end of the day, because IP is a business tool and it should be a lever you pull when you're allowing your company to grow. It's not a plaque that sits on a wall. So it's really important to have that understanding, and we really want to build that gap and make sure companies understand that these are business tools and assets they can use, and how to select good service providers to be able to help you along the way, because it's a really niche area.
That's perfect. So we're here at UP Conference in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, brought startups from all around the prairies, investors from all around Canada and North America. What are you most excited about at the conference this week?
Well, first, I'm so excited that it's such a great group. It's enthusiastic. I can't believe the diversity in different companies here and how many there are that have come out. We're really excited to be working with Innovation Saskatchewan to help, you know, bridge that gap, bring our knowledge, bring some skills around intellectual property, partner and work with these startups and see how we can help. So we're really here to make relationships and build a little bit of awareness about what we're doing and how we can help companies.
Awesome. So you came here from Calgary today and your organization works across Canada. What is it about the Canadian prairies that make it special in terms of growing a startup here in Canada?
It's a great question. I think the prairies has a few great things going for it. And I didn't grow up in Alberta. I grew up in Ontario, and I've now come to live in the prairies, and I don't see myself leaving. One, I think it brings a layer of affordability to it, and space. Space is so important when you're a startup and growing, and maybe you need access to more real estate, but it needs to be affordable. I also think it's attracting a huge group of experts that are looking for quality of life. It's not live to work, it's work to live, and I love that mentality out here. I also am a huge fan of the mountains and living in Calgary, Alberta. The proximity to like 16 different mountains for hiking is unbeatable.
I hear you. I know I try and make it out to the mountains at least once a year. Aaron, thanks for joining us on the show. Before we go, we always want to make sure our listeners can get in touch with our guests. So Aaron, how can they get in touch with you and IAC?
Great. Yeah, IAC, we're a federally funded nonprofit, so we're on the government website. You can go through the Canada Growth Program and find us, or you can look us up at ipcollective.ca.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
All right, we are here with Tom McDonald from HazTrack at UP Conference. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Mike.
Awesome. So HazTrack, I'd love to hear more about what your company does. Give me the elevator pitch on what you guys do.
So we make intrinsically safe tank level monitors for oil and gas. So a large percentage of oil sites have some element of chemical injection for a number of different reasons. Current industry standard is to send a person in a truck to go and check how full the tank is. So we've built a completely intrinsically safe sensor, which means that it won't blow up an oil site, essentially, that will take a reading of the level of the tank and transmit that information back to a cell network. And you can use that information to optimize routing, optimize delivery, and, you know, allow your employees to do a lot more kind of value add work instead of just driving around checking on assets. You can then, you know, focus on growing your business or finding efficiencies elsewhere.
That's amazing. So it sounds like a very important problem in the oil industry here.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from customers and potential customers about, you know, the product that you're bringing to market?
Well, they're pretty excited. I think some of them have estimated that their field staff will spend between 20 and 40% of their time on this exact problem. And I think some of them are kind of trying to understand what they could do if they get all of that extra time back. So, I mean, I think that's a good problem to have, but I think they're very excited about the product. And, you know, there's not a ton of innovation in this space. So, you know, when a tech company does come in and provide them with a solution to their problem, they tend to get very excited about that. So it's been very positive reception so far.
That's amazing. And that's a really great point in and of itself, too. In the tech sector, you know, we're kind of used to that. You optimize a process and then there's always new innovations and new projects to reallocate those human resources to, you know, the oil industry. It's always been a very human intensive industry, but this type of optimization is new to them. So, are you working with some of these companies or with your customers to sort of help them adapt to that new normal, and maybe how can they make better use of their time? Or, you know, increase margin or anything like that, right?
I think that'll become an increasingly bigger part of what we do. And, you know, it's one thing to just develop the technology and say, hey, look at our cool little thing. It's another thing to integrate that technology into an existing process and look at, you know, how can we make your back office more efficient? How can we make your accounting office more efficient? And try and change your organization that way. I think kind of the sky is the limit in terms of what you can do once you have, you know, the technology that allows you to collect this data. I think we've heard a lot of good talks here at UP about, you know, the rise of artificial intelligence and how important it is to be kind of collecting novel data sets and using that as the foundation for good model building. And I think that is something that, you know, for us especially, collecting that data has inherent value. And there's a number of different ways that we can transform that into kind of value-add products for our customers down the line.
Awesome. Yeah, and so we're here at UP Conference celebrating the Canadian prairies and all the startups and the ecosystem that exists here. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a little bit before, and you've got a footprint in two of the Canadian prairie provinces. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what keeps you in the Canadian prairies, and, you know, what about this region is helping your company grow?
I'd say, we're definitely a Saskatoon based company. Our origin story comes from here. I came up in the Toronto tech ecosystem, and I've been blown away with like the quality of the programming and the people who are operating in the Saskatoon ecosystem specifically. You know, we've enjoyed like tremendous support from the Colabs program, and they on multiple occasions have bailed us out of some pretty hairy situations. So I can't speak highly enough of the work that they do. And, you know, I think for us, especially considering that we're selling to oil and gas, being in close proximity to, you know, the energy sector in both Alberta and Saskatchewan is obviously tremendously important. And, you know, we heard from Premier Mo a couple of weeks ago at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference on how they're investing in, you know, kind of clean hydrocarbon production here in Saskatchewan and how, you know, how important that is to Saskatchewan's economy moving forward. So we're just happy to be a part of it. And, you know, this is, I think, a great place to build a tech company. So
it's awesome. Yeah. So you're here at the conference here, gathering all the startups from, you know, across the prairies. You know, what are you looking forward to most, or what's some of the value you've gotten out of the conference already?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different things we've enjoyed here. I mean, the investor saloon has been pretty cool, and being able to connect with all the investors that the UP organizing committee has brought in has been really tremendous for us. We're looking at raising around probably early next year, so starting to kind of have those early conversations around, you know, what we're doing and where we would fit in within their investment thesis has been fantastic. You know, we have obviously a team here in Saskatoon as well, so it's always great to kind of come back from Calgary and, you know, do some work in person with them. You know, you kind of get used to dealing over Zoom, and, you know, being in person is just, in my opinion, a lot better. So it's just a great opportunity to come and connect with everyone, all the people that we know in the ecosystem here, and see some familiar faces and meet some new ones. So,
so all about forging connections and community, you know, whether it's more long-term, thinking about investors that you might have in the future with your team, with other founders. And, you know, on Startup Bill, we're all about community, and we want to make sure that, you know, if there's any connections that are going to be forged, you know, from anybody listening here, that they can get in touch with you. So how can some of our listeners get in touch with you after the show?
I'd say we're probably most present on LinkedIn, so look us up at HazTrack or HazTrack.ca. You can check us out. And, you know, I'm sure if you need to get in touch with us, you'll find a way there, and you can just send us a message. But, come check out what we're doing.
Amazing. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thanks again, Mike.
All right. We are here at UP 2023 with Cerise Slanders from Solis Guard. Cerise, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So you are a staple of the Saskatchewan tech ecosystem, but we're here at Prairie Canada Conference. We'll have people listening from around the country here. Give us a little bit of background. What's the elevator pitch on SolusGuard and what you do?
At SolusGuard, we save lives, and we help businesses keep their loan workers safe and compliant.
Awesome. That sounds pretty incredible. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you do that?
How do we do that? Well, we have a platform of hardware and software safety solutions, and we provide this technology to large and enterprise-level organizations.
Fantastic. So we're here at Up Conference 2023 with hundreds of startups and investors. What are you most excited about being at the conference this year?
Well, you know, just this morning I was thinking about when I started, which is a few years ago now. And back then, I literally had to Google how to start a tech company because there was nothing. There weren't supporters, there wasn't incubators, there was nothing. And so when I was getting ready to come this morning and I was thinking, look at how far we've come. Look at what we've accomplished. We have a whole community behind us that isn't just here in Saskatchewan, but it's attracting people from across the country. I'm so proud of our community.
That's fantastic. And yeah, you've been here for it all. You've seen us grow from this small little seedling of a tech ecosystem to the burgeoning, growing space that it is today. So tell me a little bit about what you find special about the Prairie tech ecosystem that perhaps we don't find down in the States or in some of the major centers.
It is hands down the lack of ego here. And I think the lack of ego allows people to connect in real and meaningful ways. They're vulnerable with each other. They're open with each other. They're willing to learn from each other. And that, to me, is the biggest difference. We're not guarded. We're just really eager to connect with one another.
That's amazing. And I know I've learned a lot from you in that area. You're one of the most humble yet daring and exciting founders in this ecosystem here. So we always want to make sure that our listeners can get in touch with our guests after the show. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Cerise, how can they do so?
Well, it's a tricky name, but it's easy. So I say go to LinkedIn and find me, Cerise Landers. It's the easiest way.
Awesome. Well, Cerise, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, we are here live with Robert Irwin at Up Conference. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. So, Robert, I see you got the founder band on. I'd love to hear more about your company and what you do. Give me the elevator pitch on your startup.
The company, we're from Calgary, a team of four co-founders of a company called Village Wealth. We are digitizing the process of business acquisition. So in the world of, as an example, in real estate, you would have a buy and a sell side realtor representing each party to navigate the transaction process. In the world of business transactions, under about $7 million, which is the bulk of the transactions in North America, there's no representation of significance on the buy side or much on the sell side, really. So we're creating a digital solution to help buyers search, evaluate, finance, and engage a transaction.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. So what are you seeing, with customers as you're bringing this product to market? What are they saying about, you know, what you're bringing to them?
Yeah, it's a two-sided marketplace in kind of a unique format. But so there's two real clientele. Is the on the buy side, the buyers, we call them essentially corporate runaways, people that typically, it could be anyone, but silos of expertise, startups too risky, they're tired of working in a traditional job. So they see the pending silver tsunami of business transactions as an opportunity to change their financial world. And they don't know where to start. So engaging with those users is our first element of our product. And essentially have created a buyer search engine where all these buyers are free to come to our platform and engage and post what they're looking for. So they become then searchable while they are in their job and looking for the next transaction to occur.
Awesome. So you're building this company in Calgary. What can you tell me about your experience, you know, building a startup in the Canadian Prairie tech ecosystem? It's a little bit different than what we see down in the Valley or in Toronto or some of the major hubs.
Right. So I've been in tech for about 5 years in different formats, all Calgary-based. And five and a half years ago, it was pretty dim. Like, there wasn't a lot going on. Now it's a very vibrant space. In Calgary specifically, I'm getting good indications from Edmonton as well, and obviously in Saskatoon, which is like punching above its weight, which is kind of fun. You're like, it's actually a small town. Like, it's a good vibe here. Like, it's a real thing. And this UP conference is a great way to really bring people together in the prairies. It's genuine. Like, it's the right size. It's meaningful. It's a good crew.
That's awesome. So, speaking of the UP conference, where we are today in the greenhouse, you know, what are you here to get from the UP conference? Are you looking to meet investors? Are you looking to meet other founders? You know, and what are you looking forward to most in your time here?
Yeah, you know what? Like, with conferences like this, I don't get too prescriptive. I kind of just go in with the right attitude of engaging with people, making connections at its bare minimum. We're raising capital, but I have no illusions of finding that capital here in this moment. It starts the relationships of that going forward. It's a long process and it's convoluted. So I don't pretend to, I don't expect an outcome, but being with founders, with their stories and the challenges, with investors and other supportive entities, makes a pretty intoxicating concoction, and that's here. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, and it's all about, you know, building relationships, you know, and relationships aren't about short-term gain or things that you can get today, but you're, you know, building relationships and connections for, you know, a long-term startup, investment, you know, anything else, right?
So absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, we, speaking of relationships on the podcast here, we always want to make sure that our listeners can get in touch with our guests on the show. So if somebody's listening and they have more questions about you and your company, how can they get in touch?
Villagewealth.com, wealth spelt incorrectly on purpose and awkward, W-E-L-L-T-H, Village Wealth, is our site. It's a free experience for all users to a degree. So go and create profiles, engage with users, and move your dream forward, or Robert Irwin, or Robert at villagewealth.com.
Awesome. Well, Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's wonderful.
All right. We are here with Mohammed from TRT Technologies. Mohammed, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Awesome. So we're here at UP Conference 2023 here in downtown Saskatoon. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what TRT Technologies is and what you do?
So we started TRT Technologies. Actually, I was the main founder, solo business, back in 2021 in the month of July. And I started with the vision that we are going to build like affordable web applications for people doing business in the prairies. I saw there was a lack of developers, and there was a lack in the industry that we could fill, and you know, give us make good applications that help a lot of businesses. And over the last 2 years, we have helped businesses make millions of dollars, which is a proud achievement for us. And and we hope to be able to expand into much more beyond just applications. And we are now diving into IT services and, you know, managed IT services, making people aware of the technologies that they can make use of, that they are not aware of, to make their day-to-day life easier. So that's a little bit about us.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you're solving some really important customer problems. I'd love to learn more about how you engage with your customers to understand what types of problems you need to solve, and then go out and solve them for them.
So basically, it's just what I try to do is I try to ask important questions, you know, the questions that matter. What are some of the hiccups that you might be having in a business? If I'm onboarding a client, or, you know, maybe if I'm referred to another client, we just want to ask them, what are the day-to-day problems that you're having? It might be technical, might not be. And through our experience, through our knowledge, or even, you know, even if we are actually faced with a new problem, or we are, say someone is having a bottleneck in a certain supply chain or something like that, I say, hey, why don't make this application that makes your work easier? You know, it's a very simple thing. Maybe it can be as simple as scheduling. A lot of people are taking calls for like a small business, and they're really afraid. They don't know that this technology exists. So it can be as simple as just a scheduling thing, like, you know, maybe book an appointment online to be able to make it easier for you, so that you are free to serve your customers while, you know, the computer is doing the work for you. So that's a basic example, right? Just asking the problems and, you know, using your knowledge of technology to provide them a solution.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I mean, every, you know, between founders or small business owners, everybody gets a little bit wrapped up in the day-to-day business that they're doing. They're not always paying attention to, you know, how can I use technologies to solve these problems? Now we're getting into the world of AI and thinking about how do we integrate AI into our processes and whatnot. So it's amazing that you're working with customers to help solve those problems. So yeah, you're based here in the Canadian Prairies, building your company. We're here at Up Conference celebrating the Canadian Prairie Tech ecosystem. What's it been like building or starting and growing your company here in the Prairies to what it is today?
I'll be very honest. Like I did not expect to come this far. Like when I started out, I started with $300 in a basement, and now we have a team of six people and so many workers, developers that are working, you know, around the clock to make things happen. And I just started out all by myself, and you know, from there to have this response from people and all this positive feedbacks, it's been really great. And like I said, there was a lack, and you know, and for me there was acceptance in the community. There was acceptance, although I was in the second year of my studies when I started the company. And you know, when you're young, people often like try to you know, it's just a thing, like you're not very experienced, so a lot of people don't try to give that chance to you, right? But I'm really blessed, especially because I'm in the Prairies, that a lot of people actually gave me a chance to prove my company and myself. So I think that's one of the blessings of being here, right? Like people want to give you a chance because it's a small community of people. You know, everyone kind of knows the city is 20 minutes across. Everyone knows each other. You get easy references, and you know, you can do some good work through those references and collect more references. So it's been an easy journey, and people are super helpful. Like, you know, from taxes to you know, having business problems, even collabs, right? One of the incubators here in Saskatchewan, you ask them for help, and help is always there. And you know, now slowly with companies like Vendasta and ZU and Shevin Saves, like Saskatchewan is being there in the global market, and there's a global marker in the map. So I think, you know, it's a good start, and I hope that we will be able to contribute something to the tech community in Saskatoon as well as to the people, right? So that's our vision.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so we're running low on time here today, but we always love on the show to make sure that our listeners can get in touch with our guests after the fact if they have questions or if they want to connect. How can people get in touch with you?
My company email, mail@trttechnologies.ca. That's the easiest way to reach. And we're working on our new website, so it should be up soon. So you can find us at trttech.ca.
Awesome. Well, Mohammed, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, we are here with Steve Karagiulis at Up 2023. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So I would love to get to know more about what you do. What? Give me the elevator pitch on Steve and what you do and why you're here.
I'm a human resource and leadership coach and consultant. I help businesses deal with their people processes, and I help managers improve their leadership skills. When I talk about people processes, it could be anything from systems that improve accountability in a company to reporting. It could also be what they do for recruiting, employee performance management. So it's the HR side, but it's the soft skill of the HR side.
Right. And so you're here at the conference with hundreds of startups. There'll be more startups listening to the podcast after this. What's something that you find that a lot of founders, you know, maybe aren't paying attention to when it comes to HR and people processes?
Yeah, I think the cost of leadership is sometimes undervalued, or the cost is under-evaluated, in that when you've got weak leadership, and you know, I always say this, that 58% of managers have received zero leadership training, and that has an impact on the results of an organization. And so in startups and in any organization, there's going to be a lot of focus put on direct costs, but the indirect costs of, you know, hiring the wrong person or leading them ineffectively, that's not necessarily directly visible on the P&L, but it has a huge impact on where the organization can go. And in a startup, if you can set those things in process from the start, it's going to, one, cost a lot less to do early on, and that investment will pay off versus doing it later down the road when you've got a lot more employees and a lot more to turn should you want to make those changes.
Awesome. So when companies are looking at making those changes, what can they do to keep that in mind while sort of not losing track of, you know, building the product, finding customers and whatnot? How can they keep this a part of their regular, you know, business function or functions as a founder without becoming much of a distraction? Because obviously, if you do just let it lapse, that's going to create its own problems, right?
Yeah.
But you also can't let product and customers lapse, right?
So yeah.
How do you balance all that?
Well, I think it's when you consider the goals of the organization and what they want to achieve, how do you achieve that? And so what's interesting is a lot of times I'll talk with people in different industries and they're like, well, we're a people-based industry. And it's kind of funny because all the industries are, right? The more your people are engaged, the more they're motivated, the better you can do. So if the goal is to customer-centric, right? You're like, we've got to achieve, if we can do this for our customers, we can achieve our objectives. Well, how do you achieve that? The CEO or the founder or the executives or the directors, they're only indirectly impacting that. And so keep that in mind, having that customer and the financial objectives in mind, but also keep in mind that it's the people who are going to achieve that. How do you do that? Well, you do that by leading them properly, instilling the right culture, and making it, you know, fun to work, but productive.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And we were talking a little bit before, but you're here all the way from Montreal, yep, coming to Saskatoon to a conference where we're celebrating the prairie tech ecosystem, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Western Canada. And you've worked with a few startups in the region before. What can you tell us coming from Montreal and from an entirely different ecosystem and area of the country about what makes the prairies different, what makes founders different here, and what have you kind of noticed about the ecosystem that maybe has surprised you?
Well, I don't know about surprising, but definitely the openness of everybody is there's a definite, like, it's not a closed community. So, you know, like Alex was saying yesterday, it's all about community. It's not just a line. I really got the feeling that this ecosystem really is about community. There's an understanding of, hey, if we work together, we achieve more. So I don't know if that's surprising because I wouldn't expect less, but it's definitely great to see.
Amazing, yeah, and we're all about community here in Startupville, and one of the things we always like to do before we go is make sure that our listeners can get in touch with our guests after the show if they have questions or they want to connect. Steve, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can, my email is steve@onlineleadershipschool.com. They can also find me on Instagram at leadership.pathfinder, or they can find me, my name's not easy to spell, but they can find me on LinkedIn as well at Steve Karagiulis.
Awesome, well, Steve, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks.
Startupville is brought to you by Innovation Saskatchewan, helping grow the tech sector and research sector in Saskatchewan and beyond. I'm your producer, Ariel Delorier. Our host is Mike Wolsfeld. And today we're here with a special episode at the Uniting the Prairies Conference 2023 in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, brought to you by Colabs. Our music is from GG Riggs and Reactor Productions. Find out more about us and our guests at innovationsask.ca/startupville. See you next time on Startupville.